bear the Son of God, what that meant for Israel, how that impacted Israel, and then how it impacts us, is that when God greets you or visits you or declares something to you, it's always immense. It's never small. There are no small operations in God's kingdom. And the first thing always starts with hearing. So the first thing in life is to hear something. And faith cometh by hearing. So when the angel came and appeared, Mary heard the angel sings as the shepherds did and other people. So everything starts with hearing. Immediately then, Mary believed. That's the first thing she did. Now, since that's the key to the new kingdom, is hearing and believing, you want to meditate a long time on the scriptures then. And a lot of Christians don't. They don't meditate on the scriptures. But you need to do that because, as I said this morning, what follows often doesn't look like it adds up to the message that he just gave you. And so God will give you a vision or a message or a word, and it'll be very positive. It's always positive because God's always positive, and it's always good news. Now, that word is going to literally happen, come to pass, and so Mary believed it, and Elizabeth, and different people believe the word of God. And you have to do that. You have to hear a word of God. And if it isn't really, 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 really good, it's not God. All of God's promises are yea and amen. He doesn't have any kind of pass the butter type words for us. Everything that he's going to say, your life depends on it. Your eternal life depends on it, but so does your natural life. So as Mary was pondering all these things and immediately she went, because one of the things that told her, this has to be God. Does anyone know what it is? What is it that made her know? I mean, maybe the angel looked like an angel, but maybe he didn't. But one of the things that told her was what the angel said to her. You remember what he said to her? Well, yeah, that's what he said, but that wouldn't tell her that it was God. Anyone could say that. But one of the things was he gave her some information that no one could have known. Namely, this is the sixth month with your relative. And that was interesting because it redirected her life for the next 3 months. She immediately believed that word, that this angel not only gave her a message about, you know, hey, you're favored and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, and all those kind of things, which is neat, but she knew, you know, I can test this out. Because if what he just told me is true, then truly this is God. And I love that about God. You actually can test him. It's got to be good. None of his words are negative. You know, here's the good news, here's the bad news. I mean, I shared it in a way this morning to say it looks negative, but it's never negative. Even that which looks is only looks. Don't judge with appearance, judge with right judgment. So everything in the Christian walk is for our good. It's intended for our good. Even if we know somebody's intending to harm us or hurt us or injure us or trespass against us or steal from our house. It's all good because God's good. And so the first thing she did was believe, and the second thing she did after believing the word was she submitted. She submitted to what the angel told her. And so since he said, your kinswoman or your relative, is in the sixth month, it says she made haste. And so she submitted, and that's different than just believe. I'd say a lot of Christians believe, but they don't submit. That is, they believe God's good and all this, but they actually still worry, or they still, you know, carry on as though what he just told you wasn't life-changing. But she immediately submitted to the will of God. And I would say a lot of Christians have trouble submitting. Okay, I'm pausing so that you can think, I wonder if that's someone I know. You know, that kind of thing. But a lot of Christians have trouble because they still, even though they trust God for eternal salvation, they don't trust him for temporal life. And they have good reason not to because of their experiences. You know, they've tried trusting him and he didn't come through. Now, they knew that was bad theology, as I do. But still, you know, you want to take God by faith, but you also want to have some proof, some evidence that he keeps his word, that he does what he says. And so I love Mary. She not only believed immediately and said, I know this is of God. And the minute he gave her some information that she could act on, she acted. And it said she made haste. In other words, if this is the 6th month, you've only got a few days, maybe 30 days, and then that's kind of it. Your bed, you should stay around the house from then on. So she thought, I'm going to go and help her in these last few months when it gets somewhat uncomfortable. She could hide herself for about 5 months. No one would know that she had a baby. And so she did. It even says in the Bible that she hid herself. She didn't want anyone to get inquisitive or anything else. She just kept it in her heart. But by the 6th month, now it's going to show up. And people are going to start asking questions. And Mary thought, you know, what the angel just shared with me is no accident. I'm going to be there for the last 3 months until the baby's born, which she did. So remember, Elizabeth is priestly and Mary is royal. I want you to remember that. They're kinfolk, just like priest and king are kinfolk. King David is a king, but Moses was a prophet and Aaron was a priest. So you always have these differences within the family. But God doesn't mix them up. A priest could be a prophet, but a king couldn't. So, you know, there's a little flexibility there, but by and large, whatever you are, for example, John, the son of Zechariah, should have been a priest because his dad was. But he was a prophet. So he came out of the priestly, and there are other examples in the Old Testament of a prophet, which just simply means someone that's available to speak for God, to either to tell exactly what he's doing right this minute or to tell the future and to say, this is what's going to happen. And so when the angels talked to the shepherds, for example, they gave them some information also. And you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and so on. And that's exactly what they found. So he was telling forth some information, which he didn't just say, there's a baby born over here. He told exactly about that baby. This is going to be David's son, and he's going to be part of the Judaic king and all this kind of stuff. So that would be revolutionary. I'm telling you, that would be an international event. Because if the Davidic king returned, there would be a revolution. Because what about Herod? He would certainly want to kill that king as a contender, as someone who, you know, because Herod knew he was illegit. Herod knew, I'm not the rightful king of Israel. I might be king of, of Idumea, Edom, Esau, but I'm not the king of Israel, but I am now. And the reason he got that was because he always hated the Jews and he wanted to conquer them. And in the past, the Jews had beat their group up, and he got to be friends with Caesar. And Caesar basically said to him, what would you like? And he said, give me Judea. I want it. I want all of it. And the Muslims today have that same kind of mentality among the extremists is, give me Israel. You know, that's what I want more than anything else. Let us have total dominion over those guys and shame them. We'll show them what they're like. And so that kind of blood feud goes on and on and on. Well, Jesus then would be a real threat to that kingdom. And so Mary runs immediately, being that she has the king in her belly, but her cousin doesn't know that, her relative. She doesn't know that. All she knows is that Mary had told her, the Holy Ghost will be on you from the womb. So that's all she knows. But that's Mary. But Elizabeth doesn't know anything. And the minute she walks into her presence, immediately she begins to prophesy and speak out. That's a miraculous thing because Mary knew, Well, I'll say this. She probably wasn't told everything Gabriel said to the other woman, but she at least knew some of the information I have. I got straight from Gabriel and told that little story eventually when she met Elizabeth. But Elizabeth, without any prompting at all, just said, why is this that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? And she knew right away her older son, 6 months older, would actually be subordinate to the younger, which is a scriptural pattern. It's a scriptural pattern. So in this case, the king would dominate. The king who comes lately, after the priest, the king will actually dominate Israel. Now, kings, government officials, what they do is they don't make laws. They don't write them. They're not judges. But they can make judgments. But kings mostly carry out the laws that someone has made. Now, if the king himself makes them, he's like God. Because a king who makes the law, then interprets the law, and then applies the law, you don't have any, there's no way out. That guy is absolute monarch. He's a tyrant. And there's no benevolent dictators. Once a guy has that much power, you give anybody that much power, it's tempting then to use it. I mean, if after all you made the rule, and then you get to decide what it's like, and then you also get to decide to take the army and back it up, that's power. That's called absolute power. And it's corrupting. It's always corrupting. So the only one that can have that kind of power is God. God is the only one that can make the laws, interpret the laws, and then execute the laws. A lot of kings can make good laws, but they can't carry them out. So you elect somebody who's a nice fellow, seemingly. It doesn't mean he can carry it out. To execute a law, you have to have the power to do it. You have to have a lot of cooperation among the legislators and judicial system and even in your own administrative branch and so on and so forth. So it's not easy to have all three of these concentrated. As a matter of fact, it has never worked. In the history of the world, never has there been a time when one person actually literally dominated the earth, even the Romans. They claimed to do it. We're the masters of the world and so on. And because of their army, no one argued. But it wasn't that there weren't Parthians on the border and all kinds of Gauls up in the hinterlands and so on and so forth. Rome never conquered the whole world. Didn't even take Fort Worth. So you know they're not that powerful. But not only that, the Roman Catholic Church never dominated Europe. You've been taught that the Roman Catholic Church was supreme, Peter's Rock and all that kind of thing. The truth is, there's always been heretics or people within the bosom of Rome who have totally denied their claim. And so Rome has never had anything like total hegemony, that is, the capacity to gather all together into one pot. There's no way. But it's still the idea. That's the Roman idea. Let's conquer the whole world. Alexander the Great had it. Every would-be god, Pharaoh, wants to conquer the whole world. The Iranians, they still use those titles, king of the four corners of the world and so on. Those titles are as old as the hills, and they still believe in them. They're still wanting to revive that. But Jesus Christ has already taken that spot, and it's real hard to get it from him. It's real hard. It's real hard to get it. You remember in Psalm 2, God said, kiss the Son while there's time. Because when his wrath comes, you're not going to be able to survive. So he says, why do the nations conspire? Why? Why do the kings of the earth gather themselves together? Why do they plot and think of vain things, things that'll never work? He said, it's against the Lord and his anointed, the guy on the earth that's representing him. It's against the Lord and his anointed, which is Jesus. And there's no possibility that you're going to overthrow Jesus. Napoleon tried to conquer, Mao Zedong, Adolf Hitler, and you could just go back through history and show all the people have had that idea. Hey, what if I could rule the world? Has anybody here ever thought of that? I wonder if I could rule my wife. Is anybody, you've thought of that? Okay, it's similar. Because if you can't rule your own wife, you're probably not going to rule the world. This is a real problem. But nevertheless, it's in the breast of every man to want to what they call concentrate power, all power into my hands. It's a mafia idea. It's, military. It's whatever. I want to be the supreme commander against whom no one can gainsay, that is, speak against what I've just said, or no one can thwart a law or an ordinance or a statute or something that I've set forth as a decree. A decree went forth from Caesar Augustus. So he wanted that executed, and he would execute you if you didn't execute it. So when Mary went to her relative and announced all this, that she didn't have to even say anything. She didn't even open her mouth. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth said, "Hold." And she didn't say this, but this is what she was saying. "Whoa, I'm just flooded with the Holy Ghost right now. You got a baby inside of you, and my baby jumped up." Now, she not only said that, but she characterized it and said, he leaped for joy. Now, that only a mother would know what that means. I would have no idea what a leap inside the stomach would look like if it wasn't joyful and if it was joyful. Because after all, it's in your belly, and all you know is, ooh, it's moving. How did you know that was joyful? So, nevertheless, Elizabeth said, "The baby leaped for joy the minute you came. The minute you came and I opened the door and you greeted me, I immediately knew this is the mother of my Lord." That's a miracle. That is phenomenal that Mary, who's just a young girl, and here is an older relative. Let's say she's 60. It doesn't matter what her age is. But let's say she's 60 and Mary's, 16. That's quite an age gap there. And yet the older woman, immediately filled with the Holy Ghost, starts speaking and says incredible things. And one of the things she says is, "And blessed is she who believed everything that was told her." How does she know that? They haven't even had a conversation. This is amazing to me. It's something extremely powerful, is that something wonderful is going on. You have to remember that for 400 years, at least, no one had heard directly from God. 400 years of silence. God just simply said something like this: basically, "I'm not going to talk to you guys anymore because you never do it anyway, and you don't pay attention, and your repentance is shallow. It's just psychological. You don't really mean it. You say you're sorry, but you don't change." And so God just simply said, "You know what? I ain't putting up with it any longer. From now on, whatever you see, you don't have any comprehension of. Whatever you hear, you don't know what it means. Your heart's going to be fat from now on." And it was kind of a blindness that came on Israel. And Israel couldn't hear God anymore until this moment. Until this moment, 6 months earlier, Gabriel, that was the first time in 400 some years, Gabriel appeared on the scene, and God said, "I'm starting up again." "Starting up? What?" Well, when the prophets were talking about that time would come, "Here it is. Set your watch." And now all of a sudden things are jumping in the boondocks. It's not major city stuff. This is out in the country where nobody even knows what's going on. But those women are going to gab it up. They're going to talk about that. "Hey, did you hear about Elizabeth? She's had a baby. She's been hiding it." And I'm sure they just told one after another. It spread throughout the whole region. "Do you know how old she is? You can't even have a baby. This is just like, Sarah." And so I'm sure they were talking things up. And now all of a sudden, something trumps all that. Mary shows up. She didn't know anything about Mary. She just knew that a baby was going to be born, and this boy John, who's a priest's son, will be a prophet to declare him. So Mary comes. She's a believer. She submitted immediately to God's word, and watch this. She not only submits to it, she accepts both the rod and the staff. Okay, so I want to write that down: rod and staff. The rod is the, I'm going to say, outward suffering. The rod is the outward suffering. So the rod is a little stick. It's a little stick that a ruler would hold, the rod of your authority. And so when I say, go to bed right now, I mean it. Otherwise, you can get this stick on you. And then the staff. The staff is something that shepherds have, and it has a little crook on it. And that is a sign that many kings would have, and they called themselves even shepherds of their people. So the staff is a positive, and the rod is a negative. So anything in your life that's a negative, know this, God is not against negative things happening to you. He's against you thinking that a negative thing is negative. I'm going to say it again. God is not against trouble. He said it. In the world you have trouble. But, now here's the comma, but be of good cheer. Now you don't have an option on that. That's just the law of the kingdom. You can't just endure. You're not allowed to just endure and then gripe. Well, you know, things aren't measuring up. No. You have to endure with joy. Even though all this hell is happening, you have to laugh. And I'm telling you, that separates the men from the boys right there. That separates if you're a believer or not right there, because a lot of Christians, they just can't do it. I'm not going to rejoice on this one. I will not, and I will not, and that's it. I'm not going to do it. Well, that's cool. That's cool. But, you know, that's just psychological. And so this thing of enduring through problems, I'm gonna write it here, endure suffering, you know, when things go negative. Now, this is not spiritual suffering. This is psychological. Kind of grief and stuff. You're like, why is this happening? What's going on? With joy. Endure suffering with joy. And you remember what I said this morning in the message was that Jesus endured the cross, the rod, the affliction, the suffering, the furnace, you know, whatever. He endured that, but he did it with joy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't care, and Mary was going to have to repeat that in her own life. Because, you see, what gets you in trouble is how high is the vision God gave you. If he gives you a low, which he doesn't do, but if he gives you a low vision, then you're not going to be in trouble at all. You know, if it's just a low vision, like see if you can stay alive. You know, if that's what he said, then there's no big test on that. Just see if you can stay alive. Everybody's naturally bent that way. Defend yourself if somebody attacks you. Well, that's so low that you don't even need to tell them that. They'll just do it. They just do it anyway. But if it's a high vision, the Son of God is going to be born in your womb. Whoa, I mean, that's really high. So that means the fire is going to be fierce. And Mary, later in her life, will experience tremendous pain inside because he was such a wonderful person, had all these wonderful teachings and truths, and yet men are going to want to kill him. They're going to want to, you know, do him in. And that's going to pain her. It's like, you know, my son. Now, you might think that being his mom, he would treat her in a special way. And he did, humanly, historically. But on the other hand, he said one time, who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? And then he said this extraordinary thing, because you think, well, they had a little edge. I mean, after all, they're blood related. Mom brought him into the world. And he loved his mom. He honored his mom. But he didn't go bigger than that, because he said, anyone who does the will of my father is my brother, my sister, my mother, my whatever. You're related to me. That's all. I'm looking at this. Don't think of me as just a guy with a mom. You know, this is something bigger here than just a guy and his mom. Now, he did take, remember John on the cross when Jesus was hanging there, John said, you know, woman, behold your son. So right there, he did a legal transaction. It did just, John adopted her right on the spot. You know, you're going to take care of my mom from now on because I'm not going to be here. It's powerful. What an insurance program, because it just so happened John would outlive all the other disciples. Just so happened. So maybe Jesus had some knowledge of that if you're going to set it up, don't give it to someone who's going to be wiped out pretty soon. Give it to John. John lasted longer than anybody else. John was 40 years after Peter. Peter died early. Let's say about 60. John didn't die until the end of the century. Another 40 years. Paul died young too. So I'm glad he didn't turn his mom over to one of them. I'm sure she didn't live that long anyway. But the point is, he gave it to somebody who actually could do the practical work and take care of the mom, took her right into the home. Peter was, if he was going to be the Pope, as some say, he would have been a good candidate, but Peter never thought of himself as a pope, and he wasn't a pope, because only Jesus, only God has taken that spot, and you can't get it. Do you all understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not against the Roman Catholic people, I'm just against that lie right there. It's complete deceit, a complete lie. Jesus never said, upon this rock, Peter, I'll build my church. He just simply said, you are Peter. Petros in the Greek language, but upon this rock, Petra, I'll build my church. A Petra is a huge, like a mountain. You cannot move it. But a Petros is just like a little pebble or maybe a rock in your hand. You are Peter, a little rock, but I'm going to build my church on a big, what? What was the big thing? Well, you had to get a revelation from God, hear a word, and then you had to believe it, submit to it, and then submit to all of the, whatever goes along with that vision. I don't care what it is. Like, for example, you have two kids. That's a high vision. Can I bring these kids into the world and keep them alive the first few days? And then can I raise them and train them for the rest of their lives? And because you're forever their mom. Well, that's a big calling. I mean, that's a huge calling. I mean, I would not be good for that job. I'm glad it's Peggy. Peggy was much more patient than I'd ever been. I mean, I just know I wouldn't have done a good job. I wanted to, but I'm just not built that way. I don't even have the hips for it. In fact, I don't have any hips. I just don't. And so, but moms just, I don't know how they do it. I don't know where they get their learning. They just, are more matronly or more nourishing or whatever. And I'm more, strict or something. And then I'm loose and, I'm just all over the map. But thank God, because the kids thought I was a great dad. Shows what kids know. But they thought I was a great dad, and they thought mom was a great mom. See, we fooled them both. Both of us fooled them. To this day, we've got them fooled. I mean, they just think we're great. And they all get along with each other and so on. So it's kind of like a miracle, because actually Peggy and I are, like cats and dogs, and we just have a ball. We like our life. Peggy loves, you don't know this because I make fun, but you don't know it. She loves to be talked about. She does. She does. She loves it. She does. Never. Oh, your husband, he's just telling on you. And, secretly she's going, good. Everyone feels sorry for me. She loves it. She just loves it. She just loves it. And people will come up, oh, my situation is just like yours. So that's funny. Now, Mary, then, is listening to her relative saying all these neat words. Let's see if we can find them here. The babe whooped in a loom. All right, here. 142. And she cried out with a loud cry. Now, loud means loud. And said, having been blessed, you are among women, or are you among women? And having been blessed is the fruit of the womb of you. Now, I'm reading it literally out of the Greek. When it says having been, that means it's already happened in heaven and it's showing up now on earth. Okay? Nothing can happen on the earth that God doesn't approve of, on earth without it first going through heaven if it's going to have any lasting value. So whenever God talks, everything he's going to say has lasting value. So if he calls you to marry somebody, God knows what he's doing. God knows exactly what he's doing. That's a powerful thing, okay? So don't you judge what he has gifted you. Don't despise the gift of God, amen? Are you all hearing what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of people do. They just, this guy's an idiot. He's a jerk. Well, I'm sure that's an accurate description of him, but it's not God's opinion of him. God has a totally different opinion. I kind of liked him. That's God. He kind of, I like him. Well, he's a liar. He's a thief. He's, a pervert and so on. Well, that doesn't bother God. How many know God knows I mean, it kind of like God would say to us, so, what's new? You know, like, are there any alternatives? You know, people are just not God. People are less than God. Jordan, have you seen that in your own life? You know, I mean, I don't know how old you are now, but what, 24? 24? Yeah. In those 24 years, you can already see there are areas of your life where you don't have much control. You know, I mean, where it's kind of like, well, I wanted to conquer that, but I don't have the gumption or the brains or the commitment or whatever it is. I was going to read the Bible every day. I was going to, you know, go to church every Sunday. I was going to, you know. But you find you have habits that conquer you. Amen? And after a while you think, well, I could just make a decision. But you cannot. It isn't as easy as that. Well, I'll just decide to do it. Yeah, you can legalistically do it. But that doesn't mean it's from the heart. Only God can change your heart. Amen? So anyway, she cries out this loud cry. I'm sure it was heard by all the neighbors in Bethlehem because it's not a very big place. Let's see where we are here. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, having been blessed among women, you're blessed among women, and having been blessed, the fruit of your womb, and why has this happened to me that should come the mother of the Lord of me, my Lord, to me? In other words, what's the reason why God would send you to me through Gabriel in my sixth month? Why? And now she isn't really so curious. She just simply is saying, wow, I must be important. What I'm about to do must be important. Did you know that John was the greatest man that ever lived besides Jesus? And this is God's view of things, not how we would characterize him. Because he was a failure. He lost his head. But God said no, because his job, it's his job, not what he did or didn't do. His job was to introduce the Messiah. And because of that, he had more glory than any man that has ever lived. Just because of that. Now, the prophets foretold it, but John was actually the guy that pointed to him and said, this is the one I was telling you about. Here he is. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, things are going to get better from now on. You know, now I told you that doesn't mean they get better. When God says they're going to get better, he's talking spiritually on the inside. And eventually on the outside. But in the meantime, there's going to be some rod. Okay? Now, if you're a bastard, there'll be no rod. If you're a bastard. But if you're a legitimate child, the father that loveth his son chastens him. So you're going to go through some, you know, some difficulties and rejoice. Well, hallelujah, I got another difficulty. Well, praise the Lord. I really appreciate the time and attention God has given to me. He feels that I need this licking, this spanking, this little affliction. And I thank God for that. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. When troubles happen, that is when you get close to God. Without those troubles, it is doubtful that anyone would grow at all. Raise up your children in the, now watch, there's two things. Raise up your children in the fear and
admonition.
All right? Fear is the same thing as discipline. Fear or discipline. That's the first thing. You want to discipline your kids so they fear you. Right? You want them to obey. Let's say they're in a shop and they start knocking things off the shelf. Hey, stop that. You want them to obey. You see that? Or they're next to the street and they walk out in front of a truck. You want to be able to say, get back here. And if you don't do that, you are destroying them. It's not bad to say no to a child. It's good. Because your motive is not to restrict them. Your motive is to restrict them from something that would injure or harm or destroy them. Did you hear what I just said? So every law of God is intended to bless you. There's not one law that God has ever put in place that wasn't for your, you know, your blessing and for your, you know, good. Anyway, so Elizabeth says, blessed is the fruit of the womb of you. In other words, your boy Jesus, he is going to be fruit. Now, she doesn't know his name or anything at this point. And why has this happened to me? What's going on here that should come the mother of the Lord? Mater tu curiu. It's just mother of the Lord, not mother of God. I know. You don't even care about this, but in certain churches, Orthodox Church and so on, they discuss Jesus as Theotokos, the mother of God. Well, he's not the mother of God. I mean, Mary's not the mother of God, but she is the mother of the Lord, because as the Lord, he's our Lord, you know, telling us things. But he's not like she made God. You see what I'm saying? I mean, she's just the mother of the Lord. So you don't want to overdo this and make it too miraculous or too wondrous. It's just an ordinary woman having a child, but this one's a little bit unusual because it's God's son, and it happens to be David's royal seed. And it's the one Abraham was talking about when he said, "Your seed." Remember, Abraham asked him at a certain point, he said, "You know, things are going pretty well, but God, there's one thing I've got against you. Where's my seed? What good is all this blessing if I don't have anyone to give it to? Could you kind of work on that?" And God being, you know, slow. He's slow to anger, and he's also slow to answer sometimes. And so Abraham, with Sarah's approval, went out and got Hagar. They had a child that way because God didn't seem to come through. He said, you're going to have a son through Sarah, but it didn't happen. So he got a little impatient. He said, well, maybe he meant kind of using Sarah, but kind of actually through Hagar. And that was Sarah's idea. Sarah came up with that. You can't, how can you blame, how could you blame Abraham for that? It was Sarah's idea. She thought of this little deal. Cool. But after a while, I don't know why, but women have the right to change their minds. After a while, she said, get rid of that woman and her kid. I don't want them around. I'm not raising my boy in this environment. I love it. Now, there's a good mom. I don't want this kind of neighborhood. I don't want this kind of environment. I don't want this for my kids. They're not going to go to this school or whatever the thing is. And so moms do that. They watch out for the nourishment and who they're hanging around with, and they care about those things. I mean, Peggy to this day, still checking out. I'm surprised she doesn't drive up to, you know, Connecticut on a more regular basis just to check out what each grandchild's doing and see if Cara's doing it just right and so on and so forth. And she's, you know, I always have to tell her every time she goes, Peg, do not offer a lot. You know, don't be helpful, and stop arguing with Bill. That he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, she'll just tell him, well, you're wrong on that. You don't even know what, you know, that is awful. I say, Peg, leave him alone. And she's pretty good now. She holds it back. See, I didn't say anything. That was good. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. Because she wants to put her 2 cents in. And after all, she's got a lot of experience and stuff. But she's, you know, you got to let kids make their own mistakes. I mean, you tell them once or twice, but after a while, they're not going to learn anyway till they do it themselves. Do you think that's the right way? Feeding them cookies, for example, she had one of these deals. You know, we never gave our kids cookies. We didn't think that was a good idea. But and because of that, when Kara came of age and she was a mother, the first thing she did was buy candy and cookies and stuff it into their mouths. And I said to her, Kara, we didn't raise you like that. I know, Dad, but when you have as many children as I have, you want them to be happy and quiet. So you give them a cookie. It works. I said, ah, it's brilliant. So their teeth fall out later, but that was brilliant for the, you know, being able to attend to the littlest one. Anyway, so God is so powerful and so good. But here is a more powerful story about the mother of the Lord. For behold, when came the sound of the greeting of you into the ears of me, I mean, it would just say in English, for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to me, you know, I heard it, leaped with joy, agalias, leaped with joy, agali, that's something very exciting. The babe leaped for joy. Again, I don't know how you know what that looks like. What's a leap look like that's joyful? But anyway, she knew this was not a regular leap. This was a joyful leap. So, you know, babies regularly turn over and so on. I don't think they're necessarily praising the Lord. Maybe they are. But anyway, she knew it. She designated this one. He leaped for joy. Why? Just when the sound of your voice came to me, I immediately knew it was a miracle. I knew the baby in your womb was the Lord, and you were the mother of the Lord, and you came to visit me. Wow. And I think my boy is going to be the one that introduces your boy to the world. So this is really a fun thing, and your calling is the same as Mary and Elizabeth. I want you to know, everybody here has a calling that Jesus is in you, and he wants you to share with the world out there that doesn't know this good news. He wants you to share what's in your inside, but not physically, but spiritually. And therefore, the king is resident in your heart. It's something even more powerful than just simply resident in your physical body. Because one thing about physical body, someone can kill him. You know, if Jesus were in my womb, then someone like Herod could kill that baby. Abort. But God, this is something even better if he's spiritually in there, because spirits don't die. It's one thing about spirits. You just can't burn them. You can't flood them. I mean, I don't care what you do. The spirit is not affected by all the troubles that happen to people that they don't like. Never touches your spirit. I'm going to say that again. Any difficulty, problem, trouble, rod, affliction, suffering, never, ever touches your spirit. Never. The same fire that destroys the flesh and burns it is the same fire that purifies the gold. It's the same fire. That which is wood, hay, and stubble will burn up, but that which is gold, silver, and precious stones will actually be purified. So it's the same. So what looks like a trouble actually could turn out to be a blessing, because it's burning up something that you don't want. It's cancer. It's cutting cancer out of your system. You don't need that. Do you understand? So even though the knife hurts, and I'm not into surgery, but even though the knife hurts, a lot of people will submit to it because they feel, hey, I want to get rid of that negative thing that's hanging on me, that's got me here. I'm going to get rid of it. Well, praise the Lord. That God's into healing. God likes people healed rather than sick. It's not his will that people be sick and like, oh, good, see who I can put some sickness on today. No, God is for healing. God is for people doing well. He's not just in heaven someday like, well, down here you're going to have a rotten life, but you know when you get to heaven, it'll really be a nice contrast. That's not God. God is not going to do that. God is going to give you day by day tokens of his love, down payment, the sealing of the Holy Spirit to prove it. The same Holy Spirit that I get in heaven, I've already got it now. I'm not going to experience power in heaven that I can't experience right now. I'm not going to have a relationship, a love affair with God, and then I'm going to fall in love with him later. I love him now. He loves me now. I'm just doing it through the word because I don't always have an experience of what I believe. But I'm going to submit to whatever he says, because whatever he says, I don't care what it looks like, it's going to turn out for my good. Because I believe what he said. I believe this is a good deal. And Elizabeth is discussing this with her relative, and she's saying, Mary, well, let's just read what she says, because it's very powerful. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to me, into my ears, with joy leaped the baby, brophos, or brephos, in the womb, koilia, in the womb of me. And blessed, makaria, blessed is the one, she's talking to Mary now, and you are blessed, the one who having believed that there will be a fulfillment of those things. So what she's saying is the greatest miracle here is that, Mary, you believed all this. You actually believed, then you submitted to it, and then you took the rod and the staff. There's no point in teaching someone unless they've gone through a little difficulty. I'll say it differently. Although young kids like to learn, learning is a growing pain. It's not easy. All right, let's say A, B, C. And if you make it a little song and stuff, little kids like it. But it isn't long before you get into class and the teacher's, you know, rougher. You know, all right, who knows your alphabet? And if they know it, it's exciting. But so often they don't know 2 and 2 is 4. You know, they don't know how to read their name or write their name or whatever. And so kids, they find it as a struggle. Like, are you enjoying this? No. You know, because I can't show off and I can't, you know, when I don't read well, the other kids mock me or, you know, say, you're so dumb. And little kids will do that. Even if they don't say it out loud, that's what they're thinking. Shit, stupid. That person can't even do it. I'll do it. Little kids are mean. Little kids are nasty that way. And they're proud. You can see that this morning in the play. It's fun. And your little boy did great. But, there's no weight on him. He didn't know. He didn't care if he did this or hugged like this, because he's having fun. But later, when you get into life, you'll discover it's not easy being married. It's not easy raising kids. It's not easy, doing whatever it is you do. And there's a learning curve there that resists, my being. And I have to, like, read it, study it, pass the test. Not easy. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, but God said, that's good for you. Just trust me on it. Trust me that if you learn today, even though you don't know what you're learning, just say it. You don't have a clue as to what it is. Like, when I was a kid, we would say, one horse soap and sleigh. I didn't know what soap was. I mean, I didn't know how that fit in with the song, but you just sing it, one horse soap and sleigh. But it actually, later I learned out it's open sleigh, but I didn't know that. So I'm singing it from the time I was a little kid. And all little kids do that. They don't know, they just heard it, memorized it. And they can just spit it off without any problem. But that doesn't mean you have comprehension. So, Mary submitted to the difficulty. Why? Because difficulties are always temporary. They are never permanent, and whether they're allowed by God or sent by God, they're only to hurt your flesh, but they're never to hurt your spirit. They're actually to bless your spirit. So, when there's resistance to anything you're doing, that's actually because God says, I can trust her. I can trust him. He will believe what I said no matter what comes against it. He's going to stick with it. And that builds your character. That's how you get character. Amen? So, as high as the vision is, that's how high the suffering will be. That's how high the victory will be. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. Did you see that? Why a lot of people aren't as in love with Jesus as I am. I'm a passionate, in love with Jesus kind of person. I'm not making it up. I really love him. You don't have to pay me. In fact, you can bruise me. I still love him so much, I don't care. But why? Well, it's because I've been forgiven much. That's why. It's not that I'm wonderful and kind. It's that I'm nasty and not kind. And God loved me, and it blew me away. And that's the only reason that I'm even attentive. I wouldn't be attentive otherwise. I wouldn't do that. Because I'm totally selfish by nature, but God broke that, Jordan. Where God, loved me so much that he said, Jim, there's no way to reach you except through suffering. Sometimes we're like that. That was me. I was a slow learner. I was a very slow learner. I don't know if anyone was as slow as I was. I was a very slow learner. Is anybody like that? A slow learner, meaning he could tell me what was right. I could even agree with him, but I wouldn't do it. And I would still do it my own way. Jim, didn't I just show you that way to do it right there? Yeah. And I was just, I don't know, stubborn. Is anybody like that? Anybody stubborn? Is anybody stubborn? It's just an allergy. It's not cool. I have that stubbornness in me that nothing's going to take away except fire. God just kind of like, Jim, I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, don't do that or do that, and I still don't have it down. I'll still, Jim, what are you doing? Well, I don't know. Now that you're asking me, I'll stop it. No. Because God is saying, Jim, why don't you just trust me? Isn't it good for you to get up every day? And you've even agreed to it. You even swore you'd do it. And you still didn't do it today, did you? Well, I know, but today I had, and I'll make up an excuse. And it's kind of like God will say to me, no, you get in the Word. You can't tell other people to get in the Word if you're not in the Word. You could get in the Word, And I've memorized bokus of Scripture without trying. I don't sit down and try to memorize. I just read it so many times that I kind of memorize it. And it just, and the other thing is, when you get in trouble like I do so much, you need those scriptures. I mean, you need them like, God, you're really going to forgive me on this one? I mean, I need help. Thank you, Jesus. And In the beginning, when God said, rejoice always, I thought that was kind of like a work, and then if you did it, he'd pay you off. You know, so I didn't rejoice just to rejoice. I rejoiced to get something. You know what I'm saying? God was not easy, but I did it. I rejoiced, and I wanted to do some other things. But, you know, I rejoiced, just like you said, pay up. You know? And I learned that that is not exactly what God had in mind. What God wanted me to do is rejoice no matter what, and don't look. Just keep doing it. Like, yeah, but that could take the rest of my life. Yes. Well, yeah, but then when would I have my life? When would I be able to be miserable? How many, like, at least some time of the day you can be miserable? It's just kind of a relief from smiling all the time, being happy all the time. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It is not easy. I'll tell you what will kill the flesh more than anything else, being happy all the time. It's just too hard. I want sometimes just to get really good and angry. I feel so much better. Or just scared. Sometimes I just want to be scared. I know what it says, fear not, but sometimes it just feels good to get scared. It kind of like focuses me. And sometimes I'll just sin to stay humble. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So these are some of the tricks that I'm passing on to some of you that you can try these out. But you know, in the end, you better do what Jesus said because it works. It doesn't just work in the sense of it's a reward. It works because it's the truth. Any other way of life doesn't work. A happy person is probably not going to be a sinful person. It's real hard for the devil to tempt you if you're happy. If you're happy all the time, no matter what happens, the devil cannot get you to be depressed. He cannot get you to be angry. He cannot get you to be impatient. You learn after a while, as well, praise the Lord. Well, yeah, I know, but God's going to take care of it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll just keep doing what God told me to do. And you just mind your own business, and God somehow keeps the world alive. I mean, I have no idea how he can do it without me, but actually, he doesn't really need my assistance on griping and, you know, pointing stuff out. He actually wants me to let go and relax. Are you all like that? Are you all learning to be like that? Rejoice, I don't care what the thing is, just Yahoo! And even call somebody up. I'm telling you, I got problems galore. You don't even want to hear about them, but I'll just tell you what a wonderful thing it is. I'm getting close to Jesus these days. I'm learning more scriptures. This is really powerful. And my prayers are going to be better too. You know, when I pray out of affliction, my prayers really get real. God, now, look, I'm skip all this stuff. Just do it. And, you know, God loves that because I've gotten really serious all of a sudden. No more of that religious stuff. It's God. You know, that's all gone now. Just God, get it done. I don't know what I didn't do or did do or whatever. Just do it right now. I'm sick of being sick. I'm sick of whatever. And God loves that. And he actually will answer you because you couldn't give a testimony then how great you were. After you've just yelled at him, God, you know, I told you the other day, this guy said, what did he say? Oh, well, anyway, basically, God, you're a phony, you're a fake, or something. I think he said you're a fake. And then immediately after he said that, God healed him physically. I mean, he'd been calling out to God, and he couldn't sleep at night, so he was, you know, just night after night after night, not getting any sleep. And it'd been going on for months and months and months. And, you know, he just got angry and said, God, you're a fake. And of course, he was a fake, but still he said it. And God didn't see that, didn't bother God. Immediately right after that, he healed him. He said, you know, it happened right away. And it's like, gosh, that's really not a good testimony. You know, it's going to be hard to say, I fasted and I prayed, you know, so you got to say, when I told God he was a fake, that's when he healed me. That just doesn't make for a great testimony. But it's the truth. You'll find that when you. Where was I? That was a technical difficulty. For those in tape land.
Not a good testimony.
No, that was not a good testimony. Someone came up and knocked me down. That's what happened. All right. And blessed is the one that would believe there'd be a fulfillment to the things that was spoken to her. You know, that is the greatest thing of all. If you'll believe that God, when he says something to you, he's always going to do it. I mean, he will never not do it. He won't tell you something and then go back on it. God's not a man that he should repent. He's not a liar. When God says, Al, I love you, I'll never leave you or forsake you, no matter what you experience, you can believe that. Well, I don't feel like he's here, but I know he is. You see how that's powerful, isn't it? You can say, you know, I don't feel like praising him right now, but I'm going to do it anyway. See, that you can break right through it because God would never, you know, leave you or forsake you. He's always on your side. And that's why you'd praise him. You're not praising because he's mean. You're praising because he likes you. He's on your side. Amen? Has anybody experienced that? You know, God, if God be for you, well, who can be against you? I mean, why worry about people? Anyway, then the Lord, you know, faith comes not by just me believing. It comes by me believing the Lord's promise. And Mary said, now here's Mary responding to this initial greeting. And Mary's going to say something now. And Mary said, exalts the soul of me, the Lord. The Lord exalts my soul, or magnifies my soul, megalune. And rejoiced the spirit of me in God, the Savior of me. In other words, I rejoice in God, my Savior. So I'm going to rejoice because God not only is the creator of the universe, he's the creator of mankind. He's my creator, but also because he's redeemed me. He's redeemed me. He's actually seen me in my sin, seen me in my confusion, and he redeems me, gives me hope. Jim, what's wrong? Well, right now I'm just feeling a little bit blue. No, Jim, everything's okay. I'm with you. I know. But just don't do anything. I want you to do it. Well, Jim, what would make you happy? Golly, I don't know. I've told you already, I think. And God is just wondering, Jim, why aren't you radiant at every minute of every second of every day? Didn't I create you? Yeah, that was good. That was good. I'm okay with that. And didn't I redeem you? Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then didn't I give you the Holy Spirit? Yeah, that was cool too. No, okay, all right, I'm not going to minimize those things. And pretty soon I'm asking myself, what is it I'm complaining about then? If God is for me, who? And pretty soon I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Has anybody ever done that? Where, you know, at first it looks like I have an argument on my side. God, you know, the sun isn't shining today. It's cold out. This problem has happened. You know, it seems like when it rains, it pours. You know, and on and on and on and on and on. And I'm just funked out right now. I'm just not in a good mood right now. And God is going, well, what seems to be the problem? Well, what seems to be the problem is this, you know, and I don't really know, because sometimes I don't have anything to actually say. It's just like, just could you cut out the nonsense stuff and get me back on prosperity again and get me into a good position? And God is going, well, what is it I haven't done? Well, and it isn't long before I'm beginning to realize, you know what, I got everything. And it really catches me up short, Carolyn. All of a sudden I realize, you know, I have nothing to complain about. Everything's going my way. The next time the devil attacks, he can't keep me as long. Pretty soon I'm going to see it. Hey, I remember last time you got me down like that. You're not going to get me for 10 minutes this time. It'll only be 6. And I reduced it down where now it's real hard for the devil to discourage me, because I remember right away, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus created me. He redeemed me. He's filling me with the Spirit. He's taking care of everything. Get out of here. Ha! That was easy, wasn't it? You see, but I learned that. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. That's how you learn. I don't mean spiritually. Spiritually, you just hear it and you believe it. I'm talking about practically. Practically, the only way to learn is the tough way, the hard way. You learn obedience to what you suffer. Hello! Obedience means, praise me, Jim, no matter what, because it's all working out. No, it ain't. Yes, it is. Amen. Who for the joy that's set before you, endure all that. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Well, I told the devil to get out and he wouldn't go. That's not true, but that's the way it looks to you. I asked you to help and you didn't. Well, I know, but that's the way it looks. Well, it's probably a sin in me. I know, but that's really not what's holding things up. Well, what is it then? Well, it's because you're not happy. You're right. I'm not. Well, Jim, so what? I commanded you to be happy. You know, haven't I done everything for you? Yeah, kind of. But, you know, I got to meditate on those things. You know what I do? I start thinking on all the things God has said to me and done for me, and I realize, you know what? I don't have a thing to complain about. I don't have to worry about the world. I don't have to worry about what's going on. Everything's going my way. Is anybody else like that? You just start thinking about the good things of God, and pretty soon you're on top. You know, you can do this. As a matter of fact, he tells you to do it. Whenever you're downcast, cry out like David did. God, the bad guys are winning and us good guys are getting beat up. Well, keep it going. Well, that's not right. Well, keep going. Well, I know you're good. And pretty soon you'll be on the positive side praising God, because I don't care how many enemies you have, the Lord is able. He said he'd never leave you and he won't. He said he always leads you in triumph, and he does. He said that he'd never lie, and he doesn't. And on and on and on. Pretty soon you build yourself up by words that you believe and then submit to. And then pretty soon you start declaring those words to the whole world. That's the last word I'd write up there, is you declare what it is that you believed, submitted to, and then you declare it to the whole world. They actually see that when you went through trouble, you didn't fall apart. You have nothing to say to a world unless you've been to hell and back. No one's going to listen to you, because they're in hell. They're in trouble. They're in difficulty. And they go, well, what's so good about life? You know, I mean, like what? And you got to say, hey, I was once exactly where you are. I know exactly what you're going through. Really? Well, you didn't, I don't think you've experienced what I've experienced. Worse. Wow, that is good news to them. It's like, really? Seriously? You're a Christian? Wow. And that gives people hope, isn't it? That's why Jesus came, to identify with us and to say, whatever you're going through, I'm going to go through it. Whatever you're going through, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go through some things you've never been through, because I love you. And when that happens, it's powerful. So she says, my soul, now that's not her spirit. That's not her body. The soul of me exalts. The Lord is exalting my soul. And I'm rejoicing in the spirit of me, in my spirit, because God, the Savior of me, is the one I'm rejoicing in. For he looked upon my humble estate of his bondmaid, of his handmaid, doulos. It's actually the same word as slave, a woman who works in a house, who has no will of her own, and she just does the will of the master. She said, he looked upon the humble estate of his handmaiden. And behold, from now on, all will consider me blessed. Everyone's going to consider me blessed. Generations, every generation from the time of Mary until now is going to consider her blessed. For you did to me great things, the mighty one. You are the mighty one who did great things to me. And boy, that is so strong. When you know that all the things that are happening in your life are from him, then you begin to be thankful. If everything in your life is a gift of God, then you have nothing to do but be thankful. You just start thanking him. God, I thank you for my health today. I thank you that, you know, we have a table. I thank you for the shower. I thank you for food. I thank you for air. Little kids can do that. Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Thank him for everything. I thank him for the church. I thank him for Pastor Jim. Throw that part in there. You can thank God for everything. I thank you for my wife, perfect wife. I thank you that, you know, I'm the perfect husband for her. You can just start thanking God for anything and everything. Thank you for my children. You know, I probably had some gripes before. Don't pay attention to those. You know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've ever done for me. It's too powerful. And the best is yet to come. And verse 51, or 50, I guess. And holy is his name. And the mercy of him to generation, to the ones fearing him. So everyone that fears God is getting mercy. If you fear the Lord, God's going to give you mercy. Mary feared God. It feared God. What does it mean, fear? Does it mean be scared of him? No. Fear him means I don't want to do anything without checking with him. I don't want to just act on my own. I've done that so many times. I fear him, meaning maybe I should pay attention this time, because last time I didn't, and it didn't work out that great. And so fearing God is not being afraid of him. It means listening carefully to the words he says, because I'm not God, and I don't know what I'm doing always. And my experience has taught me that God's word is reliable. It's a rock. My words, they're not, you know. And God's not mad at me for that. He's just trying to tell me something. You know, trust me, Jim. Trust me. And he did a mighty deed with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imaginations or the thoughts, the onia, the mind of their heart. So there's the mind of their heart. Heart and soul are there, joined together in one unit. He brought down rulers from their thrones. In other words, God's the one that pulls them down from their high places. And he lifts up the humble. So God is lifting up anybody who's humble, he's going to exalt. And anyone who's big and tall and smart-alecky, he's going to pull down until he's the only one left. The ones hungering, he fills with good things. And the rich ones, he sends away empty. He helped Israel, his servant, to remember mercy, in remembrance of his mercy. In other words, God today, it looks like he's abandoned his people, Israel. He hasn't. He has not. If he told them that I surely will bring you through the furnace, then he will. Otherwise, what he said to you isn't true. You know, if the mercy to you is true, then the mercy to them has to be true. So God is going to restore Israel, full restoration, as a nation, not America, but a full restoration to the nation Israel. Now, that doesn't mean every individual. It just means those that are holy. It's a holy nation, and besides, we'll be holy right along with them. There's no difference now between Jew and Greek. But he's now saying to them specifically, but I'm going to include you too. You're not only were the first church, you're going to also be coming in at the last, when the time of the Gentiles, when all the Gentiles are come in, then I'm bringing you in. So you're not going to see Israel come until the very last days, because God said that. He said, no, I'm going to put a blindness on them, and then I'm going to do it. And so God, right now, you might be mad at him for doing this because you think you're smart and you know something. But the truth is, God knows what he's doing. Just trust him. I don't know why he did it that way. I wouldn't have. If I were God, I would have, you know, had a better program than that. But that's the program he came up with, and I think I probably don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm talking about, because for some reason he likes those people. I don't like them. There's a whole bunch of them that are nasty and, you know, stiff-necked and clever and treacherous. And, you know, I don't like them. But you know what God says? Well, what about you, Jim? Yeah, that's what I don't like about them. They're like me. You know, and I find that people I don't like, I'm often like them. Has anybody else discovered that? Often people that I don't like are people that are similar to me. It's kind of like, well, you have the same trick, but I hide mine better. But, you know, we're actually similar. And I'll try to catch a person like myself. I mean, I'll kind of like, well, who do you think you are? I'm me. I don't want you being like me. And I'll be hard on that person. And yet they're actually similar to me. And God will say, Jim, don't judge. Because with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. Finally, after he said all this, just as, verse 55, he spoke to the fathers of us, to Abraham, and to the offspring, the spermati, sperm, of him into the age, in other words, up until now, and remained Mary with her about 3 months, and then she returned home to her own house. Now, Mary stayed until the birth of John. As soon as John came forth, Mary said, it's time for me to leave now. But she recognized that, you know, what I'm saying right now with my mouth, I don't even know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying, but I really don't. It's from God. This is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit starts speaking through you, it's you, but it's also, you know, it's not me. This is really, what I'm saying right now is the truth. Amen? So, Mary believed. Mary submitted to what she believed, rod and staff. And Mary then witnessed and showed love and declared this wonderful truth to everybody she met. She just couldn't help it. She just had to tell everybody about Jesus, about the boy that she was bringing into the world. So it's a very powerful teaching. I hope tonight you have made the same decision to believe, to submit, and to then go through whatever it is he wants you to go through with joy, and then to declare it. To declare it. You know, God is faithful. God is good. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this teaching tonight, this story, this time of year. We have no illusion that this is probably the real time of Christmas, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that you didn't put a lot of weight on it. You didn't put a lot of weight on it. You put a lot of weight on what happened, but not when it happened. And so if we've got the season wrong, at least we've got the message right, that you did come to bring us good news. And everything in our lives from that moment on has been good news. Lord God, get that to your people so that we are birthing and showing forth the gift, the present, the wrapping, that everything that God has done for us is for our blessing and our benefit. We love you so much, Jesus. We do believe your word, we do submit to your word, and we do declare your word to all that we meet. In Jesus' holy and wondrous name, and everybody said, amen. I love you all. God is good.